Is it on?
Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. Two terms that we do not talk about, particularly in Buddhism directly, are prayer and love. So today I'd like to make some inroads into exploring love in relation to our lives, because it's kind of the central important ingredient in being a happy human being in our human life. And to become at ease with it. I mean, so often, because we don't particularly directly address love, Zen can become kind of a cool environment. And it's not necessary. We can be loving and awake. So I just wanted to kind of explore some of this. And in the course of it, I will be using some poems. Maybe this is a talk to give me an excuse to share some of these poems, because they're terrific. Let me just see what I'm doing here. Okay. So I'll begin with the first one. And this is, Dear Human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you'll return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity. Lived through the grace of stumbling, demonstrated through the beauty of messing up, often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love? Stop telling that story. Love, in truth, doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully. That you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough. It's plenty. Well, that kind of says the whole thing. But I'll add a few thousand, a million other words.
So we should go play now.
Yeah. We often confuse love with desire. Of course, there is a juicy propulsion that comes with early love. That's the sweaty love, the messy love, the mating kind of love, the lovely love. And desire which sometimes is considered such, we're in opposition to desire, but I want to include desire because it's so terrific, but thorny. So that's what we, that's our complete approach, right? It's terrific and it's thorny. And it lends a hefty biological assistance to love. Hormones and the silent prompt of pheromones orchestrate and urge us irresistibly into it. Probably most of us have experienced this. And it changes somewhat as we age. But it surprisingly arises even late in life when we begin to be smitten with somebody. So this is the kind of desire that's connected with loving. And love can also be confused with need. When we spot somebody who appears to have something we think we're missing, and they will complete us. As when somebody who's really shy hooks up with somebody who's really gregarious. Neediness can motivate a relationship that's not necessarily helpful to both parties, both partners. Not necessarily helpful to our development, but it could be. In our practice, traditionally, we have the opportunity to discover and develop our wholeness. We don't look for wholeness in another person. We open to the possibility of discovering in what way we are complete already and always have been. And we develop our wholeness and our ability to come forward as we sincerely are, as nobody else is just like us. Whole and complete and lacking nothing. And this is the kind of uprightness that we develop in Sangha friendships, and the love of the Sangha. We do need human connection. We totally need it. Not just psychologically, though psychologically, but also physiologically, we need connection. We need touch. We need connection to be healthy. We need love to be healthy in order to be healthy. Desire and need are all part of the human condition and powerfully involved in the ways that we attach. They are given. They are a given condition. And part of the conditions also that we seek to free ourselves from through practice. And we do become freer from desire and need, but not in the way that we might initially think we're going to. We learn about how desire and need condition our sense of dis-ease, in what ways we relate to our desires and our needs that are erroneous, because they're based on a sense that I am not sufficient, I am not whole. And also the sense that we are separate from everything in life. And also they are, therefore, foundational to a spiritual life. They bring us to our motivation for practice. So everything has so many different aspects to it, right? That's one reason why we say, get over this sense of good and bad. Because everything has things that produce difficulty and things that can potentially liberate us, depending on our view. So our practice turn us, our efforts in practice turn us from trying to outrun suffering to accepting love wherever and however we discern it. In our own hearts and bodies and minds, and as expressed in the world around us that's part of our life, the world of people, the love that people express, the love that animals express, the love that plants express, and the love that things express. This is an open view, huh? All of this is part of our own love. Our true heart-mind, open heart-mind, recognizes the loving contributions of all beings that share this moment, each moment. You may have experienced this a bit during our group sit. Each of us is in charge of our own experience, of our own meditation. But boy, when we sit together, it's really powerful, palpable. And the more that I can sit and open, I am then therefore adding my 1/20th to the soup of our mutual moment of being together. So consider what brings you to practice. It's often that our lives aren't going so well. They're not going so well in the sense of that they are not satisfying our needs or our expectations for completion, for love, for fulfillment, and for a real sense of connection and belonging. So I've heard the complaint often, I thought I'd be happy when I found a loving partner. And now I've found a loving partner, and what a blessing. But there's still something missing. We could generalize that. I thought I'd be happy when I got the right job, or when I lost those 25 pounds, or when I was able to buy a house, but there's still something missing. So what's missing? When you don't get what you want, there's something missing. When you get what you want, there's still something missing. So I was thinking of starting this talk by saying, just to get everybody's attention, hello, animals. We are animals. We're all animals. And we can lose track of that sometime. There's a lot of research, important research, that affirms the deep and biological need for love and connection in order to thrive. Even in order to survive, really. But our ordinary and very personal way of approaching life, which comes out of seeking to fulfill our desires and meet our needs, doesn't quite get us to realizing our completeness. And that's the job of spiritual practice. That's the path of being a spiritual being. Spiritual, to me, means whole and complete, all-inclusive. Spiritual means being personal, intimate, and also impersonal, because there are lots of energies that are personal, and there are lots of energies that are impersonal. And it's important to be able to, it's helpful, it's healing to be able to relate. So without an open spiritual eye and heart, our personal self is experienced as separate from the whole world, rather than realizing that our self is the whole world. That's not. Just a conception, it is a reality. This entirety right now is the world. So this may be why in Buddhism we don't talk about love, but instead we talk a great deal about loving kindness, a term that inherently includes the world beyond our self-concern and desire and grasping, loving kindness. The teachings on love are always paired with kindness. We approach love and practice love as a verb. We can open it up and notice all the many forms of love. Some are apparent and some are not so apparent. But love is intrinsic, it's visceral, an experience that wants to and needs to be enacted and expressed for us to know our completeness. Love is personal, intrinsic, all-pervading, visceral, and comes in many, many guises. So, concern, care, tenderness, appreciation, presence, openness, attention. These are some of the ways that we enact love. We might not even immediately say it's love, but if we look at it, it's love. It's the one heart. And our awareness of it can pop up at the oddest moments. So consider this. This is the next poem. The half of the dream that is ordinary. The salt shaker lives contented on the shelf near the stove. If it wants to change into anything else, say an oregano or cumin vessel, something a little more exotic perhaps, like the mattress curry powder ampoule or gamasio jar. It has never breathed a word, not one word of complaint for its humble role in the culinary excursions implemented in my kitchen. I rely on the salt shaker in a way I don't rely on other seasonings. The way I rely on the rain to fall in Oregon rather than the spicy sun. Or the way a simple routine is never invested with a particular glamour or eccentricity, but hovers at the edge of the laced assemblies of luminescent, moment by moment, earthly belonging and daily redemption. This is just the love of things. It gets at an experience I often have. I don't know, does it, you know, do you have these moments? Where something, my mother once wrote a poem about, it's called The Yellow Chair. And I grew up with a yellow chair in our kitchen, and she grew up with a yellow chair in her parents' kitchen. Mm-hmm. That's a member of our family. That has served many, many bottoms. So this is a kind of love, how we approach everyday moments, people, things, situations. This urges us to appreciate all the ordinary services we receive daily by the things that accompany us in our households. This is not a matter of being sentimental or gooey or sweetsy. In fact, a loving response can look quite the opposite. Sentimentalness, gooey, sweetsy, usually bespeaks neediness and can be off-putting. But a loving response is sometimes relaxing, but always connecting and complete in itself, coming forth as it does from the sea of compassion. The salt is offered to us by our earth household. We are in a disastrous moment as a civilization, as we realize how our lack of love and appreciation for all of the natural world has led us to a time when it may no longer be able to support us. If we keep going the way we're going. So love and kindness can feel sweet and or even a little harsh at times. I'm thinking about tough love, which is based in truth-telling when somebody really needs the truth. When somebody really needs the truth to be told to them, to help them get free of some unwholesome behavior. Unwholesome because they disconnect. They are causing harm to themselves and others. We can develop loving kindness. We can develop loving kindness. We can practice loving kindness. We can affirm that it is something that we all want to bring forward and be kind of saturated, let it saturate our way of being in the world. By practicing it actively, keeping it in mind, remembering the intention. Loving kindness is one of the four divine abidings. One of the four divine abidings. Sometimes when I'm feeling a little inspired or a little dull and flat, I just think of the phrase, the four divine abidings, that humans have offered each other. Because it brings us back in touch with our completeness and our connection of the entirety of our life. And it's true. If you are having difficulties, remember to offer yourself loving kindness. May I be free from fear. May I know my wholeness and completeness. May I open my loving heart and be at ease. And it's almost instantaneously a little dose of the right medicine. It puts us back in touch with a little taste. May I recognize love wherever I find it in all its forms and accept it and allow my heart to be nourished. May I receive attention. May I receive love. May I offer love to someone else or something else. Something else by how we tend our environment. That's how we offer our love. Pay attention. This simple practice can dislodge us from a narrow and miserable self-concern and self-judgment and cut-offness. Or a moment of experiencing shame or discouragement, all of our favorite miseries. We probably, each of us, have a specialty, a misery specialty. So this is the active engagement of love in our practice, the practice of living on this earth lovingly, inclusively and openly, wisely. So we can all ask ourselves, how do I experience love? How do I express my love? So the last poem is accepting this. Yes, it is true. I confess I have thought great thoughts and sung great songs, all of it rehearsal for the majesty of being held. The dream is awakened when thinking I love you, and life begins when saying I love you. And joy moves like blood when embracing others with love. My efforts now turn from trying to outrun suffering to accepting love wherever I can find it. Stripped of causes and plans and things to strive for, I have discovered everything I could need or ask for is right here, in flawed abundance. We cannot eliminate hunger, but we can feed each other. We cannot eliminate loneliness, but we can hold each other. We cannot eliminate pain, but we can live a life of compassion. Ultimately, we are small living things awakened in the stream, not gods who carve out rivers. Like human fish, we are asked to experience meaning in the life that moves through the gill of our heart. There is nothing to do and nowhere to go. Accepting this, we can do everything. We can go anywhere. So I'd like to invite any comments or questions on this theme of love.
I forget what you called them, but there are four attributes or activities.
Divine abidings.
Abidings, all right, thank you. I kept thinking and not being able to figure out what the other three were.
Okay. So, loving kindness is one. What's one other?
Sympathetic joy.
Sympathetic joy. Taking joy in the joys of others, in the happiness of others. What's one more? Not over there.
Sorry.
Anybody? Equanimity is another one, which is taking things as they come. Knowing them as part of the whole picture, and compassion. Compassion is the other one. Very much connected with love, but it's not necessarily, I think of it as more general. To be able, I may not feel love for someone, but I can feel compassion for anyone if I can feel compassion for all the states that I am subject to. Because we're all human and we're all subject to the same states, same experiences, inner environment.
So, I went to this thing last night. I want to say that this talk really reminds me that love is not just finding somebody to love and having a relationship. It's so much more. And being as I've always been a failure at intimate relationships, I always thought, well, love, I don't do that, right? But now I can see that there's love everywhere in my life. And I went to this thing last night called Sip and Spell, okay, where each person, the editor of the paper and the mayor are up there, and a bunch of professors from OSU are up there sitting in a row. And then each person who wants to do it gets up and tries to spell a word that they give them. And then eventually somebody wins. I mean, it's 71 people, okay? And each one gets up to the microphone on the stage at the Whiteside Theater, and there's this huge crowd. I mean, the whole theater was full. The balcony was full. They're in the spotlight, and they get a word from the judges, and they have to get a word from the pronouncers, and they have to turn to the judge and spell it, okay? So there was, I just felt such compassion for each of these people who got up there and made fools of themselves, some of them. And it was everything from very shy and just forced themselves and just really wanted to do it to didn't give a damn, and they were drinking beer. They had the beer in their hand, and they got it wrong, and they just threw in P's and Q's and X's and started, and everybody laughed. But there was everything in between. A huge, a wonderful cross-section of the community, you know, from elderly people to OSU students, all getting up there, presenting themselves, being willing to be seen. And I was sitting there, and I don't know why I felt so joyful. I just felt really joyful, but now I realize that that is an aspect of love. And it was such a great time. I really recommend it every year to people.
That's great. And I heard, I went to a concert last night, and it was fantastic. And I just felt the love of the performers so clearly. The willingness to have put in a lifetime practice and develop this wonderful moment and share it with everyone. So my hope is that this talk reminds us all to go forth and really notice all the love and see things in terms of love. It's a choice that we always have. We can always recognize the love.
You started talking about this a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday, so this is a plug for Tuesday because they're great discussions that she brings to it. But I've been sitting with this for a couple of weeks now, with, you know, considering love and thinking about growing up. My parents never said, "I love you." I don't remember ever hearing it from them. They probably did, but I don't remember. And yet, so many of their actions were, love was manifested in everything that they said and did, whether it was tough love or really heartfelt love, you know, however we define it, whatever words we use. It was definitely something to experience without words. It was more the actions of what, which creates that awareness of everything that we see that is love.
So it's attention also.
Yeah.
It's a really vital part. I mean, as far as parenting goes, attention.
Yeah.
That is appropriate and feels good.
I think the hard part for me is receiving love. Giving love is easy because I can be in control. I get to have the power differential of giving to someone else. But to receive it means I have to be vulnerable and open to receiving it back in. And that's a much bigger challenge.
Mm-hmm. To feel loved.
To feel loved.
To try it on. How does it feel to be loved? You could try it on right now. Anywhere, anytime.
Thank you.
Maybe recognizing that it's offered?
Well, that would be a beginning. Yes.
Well, so, I mean, we can all look at that and see, just as Jim was suggesting, are you willing to take it in? In when it's offered. And the thing that gets in the way is a small self, a contracted self. There's nothing that need be done when you receive love but to receive it. That's all, to feel it. Not judge it, not characterize it.
Not control it.
I put modifiers on it. Yeah. You know, I feel that way when I put my feet into my boots. I always feel like, oh, these boots, they're such lovers. They go with me on my walks. Keep me dry. Keep me able to walk through puddles, which is a delight, I find.
Walking in puddles.
So it's kind of the love of things and the service that things do us. It's kind of child mind, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's allowing ourselves to have the mind of a child, which is in really animated relationship to everything. You look at a baby discovering a squeaker toy or anything, a lump of hair-infested dust, you know, just like, wow.
I
was doing this meditation, and it was titled Self-Forgiveness Meditation, but it was like the first half, it was Jack Kornfield meditation, the first half was forgiving, you're practicing to forgive yourself for things you've done to other people, forgiving yourself for things you've done to yourself, forgiving other people for things they've done to you, and then the second half of it was all metta practice, so like wishing, may I be happy, healthy, and then to like other people. And it was interesting how much easier of a time I had wishing love when I had forgiven, practiced forgiveness.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really big like block for me. Like,
yeah.
They don't deserve my love, or I don't deserve their love.
Yeah, that's a story. And then, you know, what immediately came to my mind as you were describing that is, if I have to practice forgiveness, it means I'm walking around holding on to something. And I can't give until I've released it. Just the physicality of it.
Hmm? I just think, you can't give until you forgive.
I can't give until forgive, yeah. Discoveries are always made. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about how this relates to dealing with some of the political stuff that's going on right now, and how you meet really destructive and like hateful things with love, and how like, especially when those things are out of your control. And I think part of that is getting through that forgiveness portion to a degree, or at least seeing that those people are somewhat unhappy or whatever words you want to use, so that you then can give something else and you're not kind of paralyzed in that feeling of resentment toward people that are hurting others.
Yeah, that's really important, because sometimes that's the only thing we can do,
yeah,
is to stay in touch with our own heart energy. I mean, if we see that there's a big kind of cultural movement going that's getting more and more tight and reactive and harsh, it is immensely important for each of us to stay in contact with our own love, to maintain love in the collective heart. And sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes there are other things to be done, but unless that is done, then any action we take just is more of the closing off. It does not bring, it doesn't infuse and really transform the passionate energies that are brought forth in conflict. Conflict can be incredibly productive if it's skillfully worked with. It deepens our understanding and our appreciation for difference. But only if we can remain supple and open and willing to experience our fear and vulnerability. Last one and then we're done.
The Women's March that goes Saturday. the love of all these people quietly holding your signs, talking, laughing, the love was palpable. It felt whole, and there was a sweetness to it that that resisting doesn't necessarily have mean that you have to express difficult emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a very positive experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big love.
All right. So let's all enjoy our community of people, animals, plants, and things, and regard our life with love and care.
Before I go